Makuta Sichas Chelik Yudalid, Parsha Ekev, Sicha 1, Sicha Aleph. And it's also a Sicha in connection with Chaf Av, which is the Rebbe's father's Yahrzeit. B'tama Smicha Shal Shviris Aluchas L'misas Aram B'Parsha Seinu, in regards to the bringing together the Torah relates the story of the breaking of the Luchas. Moshe Rabbeinu tells of the story of the breaking of the Luchas right at the same place as he talks about the passing of Aaron. So the question is asked, why are the two subjects brought together? They happen 40 years apart. Amar Hazal, our sages tell it, Yikoshim Yisosim Shol Tzadikim Lufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kishvirus HaLuchas, that the passing of a tzaddik is as difficult for Hashem as the breaking of the luchas. When the Torah, which is the Torah of truth, compares two different things, it is a comparison which is thorough, and there's comparisons on many levels between these two things. In other words, the comparison is not only merely in the matter that both of them are difficult for Hashem, and that's the end of the comparison. But rather that they are similar to each other also in what they represent. And it's therefore the contrary. Zewa Siba, that is the reason, because they are similar to each other in what they are. The similarity, because they are similar in what they represent, is the main similarity. And therefore, the result of that is that they are both difficult for Hashem. So we have to understand. And since the two are similar to each other in what they represent, and therefore, since they are similar to each other in what they represent, then the details that we find by the breaking of the luchas must have similar representations also in the passing of a tzaddik. So we have to understand mahu atzad shava the shvidus haluchas mesashim shod tzadikim beklodus inyan, and what is the similarity between the breaking of the luchas and the passing of a tzaddik? First of all, in the general sense, and also b'me'adimim the apratim, and what are the details? How are they similar in their details? V'hine av sheshvidus haluchas hi tzara. Even though the breaking of the luchas are obviously a problem, a difficulty, the kashul of nekaj baruch, and they are something that is difficult for Hashem, we find also that there is a certain element which is like a silver lining. There is something positive about it as well. The proof for this, that there was a positive side to it, when the Yidden used to go to war as they were traveling through the desert, the Aron, also when they entered Eretz Yisrael, the Aron which Aron, the one which had the broken luchas in it, used to go before them into war. It would seem this would seem a difficult idea. Since the broken luchas remind us of the sin. Of the sins of the Yidden, v'loy chet stam, not any ordinary sin, ela chet ha'egel sholom nemar, but rather the sin of the golden calf, about whom it says, u'biyem pokti ufakadati aleim chatosom, that on the day that I remember, that I count, I will also count this one in, this sin, which our sages tell us, she'en peronis bo al Yisroel, that what this pasuk means is that whenever there is a, whenever Hashem punishes the Yidden, every punishment, she'em b'ktsas mipiron of an egel, every punishment carries with it a little bit of a punishment for the egel as well. So it's no ordinary sin, and that whenever there is a punishment from Hashem, it also includes a punishment for the egel. The eich yitochen, so then how does it seem right? Shebishas Shebnei Yisrael Yetzim L'Molchama, that when the Yidden go to war, Shoz Kukim B'Yisrael L'Limitzchus, that's a time when they need more positive things, more Zchusim. And they need Hashem's compassion, which is brought about through remembering mitzvahs and good deeds. Similar to what it says in the pasuk, when you will go as a camp, meaning as in war, to your against your enemy, you shall keep your camp holy. In other words, so, in other words, they need in the time of war, they need extra holiness, an extra mitzvah of ma'isim tovim. Dafke oz, and it's dafke then, yikhu imoim ashivri luchos, that's when they should take the broken luchos along with them. Dover amaskir cheta ego, something which reminds us of the sin, no ordinary sin, but the cheta ego. Umizem luchos, but since they did used to bring the Aron with the broken luchos, so that proves, shedafke b'shivri luchos, yesh inyan, shalimitzchus labanei tzarleitzim u'muhammad, that it's the broken luchos which somehow bring out a great merit about the Yidden in a time when they're going to war. The loy oir, and not only that, eloshi is chuz gedei l'biyosu, there is a great merit. Sharei yetzim l'chama yukulun tzaddikin, because you know that everyone that went to war in the Jewish army in the desert were tzaddikim. She'em biyodam ala mitzvahs ma'isim tovim, such tzaddikim that are only mitzvahs and good deeds. U'misha yorim ha'averish biyodai, and anyone that was afraid because he had sins, Nitztava Yelech V'yoshev L'beis V'le'yimus, was commanded to go back and not to go to war, so that he shouldn't scare the other people, the other soldiers. So in other words, all the soldiers were people that were free of sin. V'chol zeh lo yehayim maspik, and that was not enough, that kind of schus, that all the soldiers are all tzaddikim. That wasn't enough. Amru, when they said, Shetzarach li yeshivri luchas yeitzim emam l'mochama, that wasn't enough. They needed the broken luchos to go to protect them in the war. So there must be something super great about these broken luchos that had a special protection, even for great tzaddikim. Val pianal muven shal derozehu gam b'mitzvah tzaddikim. So therefore, in a similar way, it must be true about the passing of a tzaddik. Gam bo yesh ma'ilu gedei l'v'yaseidah, that there must be some also great quality about the passing of a tzaddik, which is a protection, the dugmas hamaylus shebeshviras haluchas, similar to the whatever that quality is about the breaking of the luchas that protected the yidden. V'yesh loyimer, one could say shabitui shebabitui koshem mitzasim shol tzaddikim v'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that in the expression that it is difficult, the passing of a tzaddik is difficult for Hashem kishviras haluchas. Nirmas gama ilish b'shnei inyanim elu, that it also brings out what this quality is in both of these cases. Ki kasha l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the word kasha, difficult for Hashem, matzina b'inyan shu tachlis ha'tov, we find this expression also in regards to something which is a very high level quality. U'kemaymer azal, the ultimate good. U'kemaymer azal, as the sages tell us, kasha k'kriyas yamsuf, that the making of Shaduchim is difficult for Hashem, like Kriyas Yamsuf. So in other words, Kriyas Yamsuf was a very, very positive thing, and yet the term Kasha is applied to it. Asher Kriyas Yamsuf haya echad anisim ha-yesik delim b'naylim. So Kriyas Yamsuf was one of the greatest miracles. So and the term Kasha is used, so therefore the word Kasha misasam must be of that type of Kasha, that it has some sort of a quality that can be found, as we did by Kriyas Yamsuf, which is a very high level thing, and over here also using the term kasha, and it refers to the passing of a tzaddik and to the breaking of the luchas. The tzarach lovin, so we have to understand, mahi amayla b'misasim shol tzaddikim, what is this quality, this unique quality that we find in the passing of a tzaddik of a shvirasim shol haluchas, and in the breaking of the luchos, l'chayre minyanim shekol kulam hu hepech maila, it would seem that their very existence, everything about these two things are to the contrary, the opposite of good, a passing of a tzaddik, the breaking of the luchos, and so on. V'hine, gabe luchos harishenim nemar, in regards to the first set of luchos, it says, v'haluchos maisi l'kim heima, that the luchos were fashioned by Hashem. And the writing, the engraving on the luchas were also the writing of Hashem. Choros al luchas, engraved on the luchas. Hainu, meaning to say, shehoyu bem shtei milus, that the luchas had two qualities. Number one is milus aluchas v'sad atzmon, the tablets themselves, the stones themselves. Ma'ase elikim hema, they were made by Hashem. And Beis, Mailosa Mitzad Michtav Elikim, the writing that was engraved on it, Hachoros Aleim, that's another quality. And even though these Luchas had these two qualities, B'chol Zeis Amr Chazal, still our sages tell us, Nistakal Moshe Behem Barosh, Uparach Ksav Me'aleim, he looked at them when he, after the Chet Egel, he looked at them and he saw that the writing had floated up away from them. Omar, so he said, "Hey, chani noisin lemli Yisrael is aluchas she'ein behem mamish. How do I give them these luchas which have no meaning anymore? Elo echoiz ve'eshabrim. I will take hold of them and I will break them." That's what is said about how Moshe broke the luchas. So the question should be asked. Aleph, number one. Even after the writing had floated up away from them, the luchas still maintained the quality that they were the tablets themselves. The stones themselves were made by Hashem. So even if the writing is no longer there, but the stones are still very, very important. How could he say Moshe could say about them shame be mamish that they have no, there's nothing left of them. Beis, aim behem mamish. They have not. There is nothing valuable left. Tam shalo yitnim li Yisrael. That could be a reason why you shouldn't give them to the yidden. That would be an acceptable reason. Gam ken legoins akim legoinsim. So what do? You can't give it to the yidden. So you bury it. You put it aside somewhere. And so on. But why should that lead to shaming them, insulting them by breaking them? You could put it away. They're no longer what they were, so you put them away. Gimel. Pshita de tzarachli is echeiz. Obviously, what does it mean, I will take hold of them and break them? Obviously, he's holding them. He has to hold them to break them. Why does he have to say, I will take hold of them? At least according to this interpretation, where it's not going according to the interpretation, which is also brought in that same place in Avos Rav Nosson, that the according to one interpretation, when Moshe turned back to go back onto Mount Sinai, when he saw the Egel, the Zakenim chased after him and they wanted to take the Luchas away from him. So he had to take hold. So that's one shot, but this is not that shot. According to that shot, we can understand what it means, I will take hold. But this is not going according to that shot, so what is the meaning, I will take hold of it? Dalit. Da'bir bazeh behektem dugma ledovah. So to explain this first by explaining something that is similar to that. Goyul mechaymer hachi yokar. A raw materials of the most expensive kind, einem chashuvim at kedei lekabel tuma. Even though it could be a diamond, but if it's just a raw diamond, a piece of rock, which is what diamond is, can't become tummy. Ki im tzarech li is nasas kli. Only if it is made into a receptacle, only if it's made into a tool, into an implement. But if it's just raw material, it doesn't become tameh, even if it's the most expensive material. V'akli tzarachli is gemura, b'chol ha-shlemish ola b'ratzon, and when is it mekabel tumah? Only when you complete the keli, not if it's halfway done, or even if it's 99% of the way done. It has to be complete with your original intent of what you plan to do with this keli. Only then does it become tameh. La'achar gemar melechas akli, but now after this implement was made and finished, benitma and did in fact become tamei. Va'achar kach nechsar b'shleimus akli, and then somehow it was diminished. There was a chip or a break or something happened to the keli. It's no longer perfect. So even though we understand that when it's especially something expensive, when it gets chipped or broken, it's now diminished from its importance. Still, it remains tame. Once it became tame, when it was a complete keli. And only through breaking it, mitafkido ha'ikri, only when you break it in such a way that it is no longer able to serve its primary purpose. For instance, the mashke b'meitzi mashke, let's say it's a cup which is meant to contain liquid. So if it's broken in such a way that it can no longer contain liquid, that's called broken. And zui takanosa, that is how you fix it, meaning remove the tumma, bitla tumma. That's how tumma is no longer, it becomes no longer tame. But as long as it still serves a certain purpose, its primary purpose, even though it's severely diminished, it still remains tame. V'hinei aluchas hayu luchas evan. The luchas were from stone. Sha'afilu kli gomer ein mekabel tumma, that even stone is a material that even if you make it into a keli, it's still not makabel tuma. Kli avonim are not makabel tuma. The oid v'iker, I guess I misstated before when I gave the mushal of a diamond, because a diamond is not a good mushal. Let's say gold. The oid v'iker, and even more so, afilu basara yoyred min hashamayim. Even meat that comes down from heaven, tahiru, is considered to be tar. The Gemara tells a story that there was a certain sage that was attacked by lions, and they were roaring at him, and so he said, the lions are looking for food, so two pieces of meat fell from heaven. The lions ate one, and they left over one, so he took the other piece of meat, and he brought it to the Beis Medrash, and he said, is this kosher meat? So the answer was that it came from heaven, nothing tameh comes from heaven, and therefore it's kosher. So even meat, which normally is makabel tumah, when it becomes, because it's food, when it comes from heaven, it's not makabel tumah. And the luchas came from heaven. Ba'alachas kamavakama luchas shemaisa elekimema, certainly then luchas which are actually made by Hashem, it says that Hashem made them. What does it mean? So of course it doesn't become tame, but this can be compared to what the Gemara says, that the garments of the Kohen serving in the Beis HaMikdash, they are considered tame when we deal with preparing the mechatas, which means the water of the ashes of the Parah Aduma, because they are such an elevated status of Tara that they need, that even if somebody touches the big day of the godim, the garments of a kohen, he has to consider himself tamei in regards to mechatas. And not to say that the garments of the kohen are actually tamei, of course not. But in comparison to the mechatas, we must treat them as being tamei. In other words, that you need an exceptionally high level of tara for the mechatas. So in a similar way here, so in other words, the same is true here. When we want to talk about the luchas, that they were diminished in maile, it doesn't mean that they became tamei. It just means in comparison to a higher degree of kedusha, of holiness, they were diminished. But it doesn't mean literally that they became tamei. V'hine nesina, that they become tamei. V'hine nesina saluchas haisa el maisha. So now, the giving, when Hashem gave the luchas to Moshe, he gave them to Moshe, al-menas la-nichem ba-orem, they were there in order for Moshe to place them into the Orem. That was the intended destination of the luchas. L'masron l'tzibur, in other words, that he was charged with giving them to the Jewish people. V'lachein, and therefore, kodem she'es shabreim, before Moshe Rabbeinu could take the initiative to break them, he said, I first have to take hold of them. In other words, right now the reason I'm holding them is in order to pass them on to the Yidden. If I want to break them, I have to first take possession of them, and then, after I have them, I can take the initiative to break them. That they first have to become mine, and then I can break them. So he answered, So he's answering the three questions that he asked. We'll get to it after. First, let's learn the next section. The Signon Achar, to say this and explain it in other words, but Pnimision, more in a spiritual, in a inner Chassidish words. Mekiven Shemichtav Alekim Haya Charos Alaluchais. Since the writing of Hashem, the words of the Sarzivas were engraved on the Luchas, through the engraved letters. In other words, that the writing was not something on additional to the stones, as is the nature of letters that are written with ink on paper. Rather, the stone and the words become one body, one entity. The writing was part of the stone that was engraved into the from the stone into the stone. So it's understood that this elevated status that the writing of Hashem caused onto the stones of the luchas, it became one part and parcel of the stone itself. It wasn't that the stone is one thing and the writing is separate. The writing became part of the stone, so they became one and the same. So the stones of the luchas, what did they become once they were engraved with the words? They became the words. That's what they became. They became the stones which have these words. They're not two separate entities. So the true nature of the stones now were the words which are engraved in them. And therefore, kasher parach ksam aleihem. When Moshe saw that the words floated up away from them, even though they still retained their quality of being made by Hashem, the stones are Hashem's stones, still he considered them to be of no more value. They had no real value anymore. The royal Shabram, and therefore they need to be broken because their nature became the words that were engraved on them. That became who they were after that. Therefore, once the writing floated up away from them, then what's left of them? Their true nature is now left. The fact that they were previously and still are the stones which Hashem fashioned, but that's not who they really are anymore. Who they really are is the writing which is on it. And therefore, if they no longer have that true quality of who they are, then they have no real value anymore, and therefore they need to be broken. Since their new status, once they were engraved on, was that they are the engraved words of Hashem, and if that's no longer there, so then there's nothing left. Their true nature is gone. You say to Mizu, even more so, parach ksav me'aleihem bepashtus ein lefarash parach mem guf ksav. When he saw that the writing had floated up away from them, it doesn't mean, even the simple meaning of it doesn't mean that literally there was no writing left on it. The letters themselves floated away. The imkeimau haloshen aluchas shein be'mamish. Then why was he saying that the luchas have no real value anymore? Should have said they're no longer there. There's nothing there left. Not that they have no real value. They have nothing. There's no words. And another thing, since, as we said before, the writing was part and parcel of the stones themselves, as long as the stones are still there, complete, before he broke them, then the words that were engraved on them must have also been there. So what does he mean that they floated away? The Holy Spirit that was invested in every letter, that's what floated away from the stones. So from this we understand Shamitis Ametzias Shal Aluchas Haisa, that the true nature of these stones was Loirak Guf Haksav, not just the letters that were carved in them. Elo Beikir, but rather for the most part, Hanashama Baharuach Shabaksav, the soul, the spirit that was invested into this writing. Shalachin Kasher Paracharuach, and therefore when the spirit of it floated away, Hanashama Shalaksav, the soul of the writing, Afshanish Raisabitsiuram, even though the actual letters remained, Ein Bahem Mamish, they have no real value, it's just like a dead body. So he explains the three answers, the three questions. Just because the letters floated away, they still remain the stone of Hashem, that Hashem fashioned, that's not a reason to keep them around, because their true nature became the letters, the words. The second question was, why break them? Why not just hide them, put them away, put them aside? He said, because if they've lost their true meaning, then there is nothing, you have to get, there's no reason to keep them around. They should be destroyed. The third thing, why he took possession, he answered before, because for some reason he had to take possession of it away from his mission to give them to the Yidden in order to be able to break them. The Ketusha Shehoi Baluchas Rishonim, similar to what we find, the two qualities that we found in, that are found in the first Luchas, Aleph Maisei Lekiun, the first mila that they were made by Hashem of the stones themselves, and Beis Hamichtav Lekiun, the writing of Hashem Shayacharis Alein, those engraved on them. Yesh Dugmosam Gam BeIsha Yisraeli. There is a similar quality, two qualities that can be found in regards to every Jew. Shehu Murka Megufa Neshama. Every Yid is made up of a body and a soul. The body of the purse of the Yid is like the stones themselves, which is also made by Hashem. Similar to the Luchas, the Jewish body also has an amazing, incredible holiness attached to it. That means the body without the soul even. And then there is Vanashama Shenitna Bai. And then there is the neshama which is invested into the body. Hidugmas hamichtav alakim. That's like the writing of Hashem that's on the shayacharos aluchas that was engraved on the stones. Uben neshama atzma, and even in regards to the neshama itself, kama bechinas. Hey, there are a number of levels in regards to the neshama. Zulif nimizu, one higher than the other. Ubechlolus neshama v'neshama neshmasa. In general terms, you could say there is the neshama and the neshama of the neshama. Al derech hanal b'michtav lekim, as we said before, in regards to the writing of Hashem, that there was the letters which were engraved on the stone, and then there was the soul that was invested into those letters. So also the neshama, which is representative of the letters, there is the letters, the neshama itself, and the neshama within the neshama. And just like the luchas, the stones themselves, that it would seem that they have their own quality, the fact that Hashem made them, even without the engraving of the words. Their existence as stones which Hashem created were there before he engraved the words of the Aseres HaDibros. V'cholze, even so, even though they had their own quality, after, once, the Aseres HaDibros were engraved onto these stones, nis'alu be'ilu atzmi, they were elevated to such an essential level, ad shekol mitziyosam hu hamichtav alikim, that their entire mitzias, their entire existence, being, became the writing which is on them. Once the writing was engraved, that became who they are. The fact that originally they had been made by Hashem as well, that became secondary, that became already not who they are. They are the stones on which the Aseres HaDibros, Hashem engraved the Aseres HaDibros of Eifen, and to such a degree is this true, Kasher Parach HaKsav, that once those words floated away. They became something of no value, of no real value, even though they originally had value of having been made by Hashem. But once they were changed into the engraved stones, once that leaves, they no longer have any real value. Ubo l'shviras v'hefsed mitziyusam, and therefore now there was a need to break them. Once this, what he compared before to the idea of tumah or lack of, there's no actual tumah, but the lack of kedusha, they were diminished in their level of kedusha. There was a need to destroy them, to break them, so that in order to bring them back to neutral place, I guess. Kanal, as I mentioned before. Kenu gam b'negei l'guf ha-Yisraeli. The same is true also in regards to a Jewish body. The av she'ein his'avus she'irish ha-guf atzmusim n'shmosei elementibus avivimai. That even though the creation of the body, the source of the body, is not from the neshama, only it comes from the human DNA, from the father, the mother, the oid, and also hisabah shel haguf kodma lazman shenitna by neshama. The creation of the guf comes before the neshama is breathed into it. Mekol makom, still la'achash neshama neslap sheba guf. Once the neshama is invested into the body, shleimus is slap shezuhi, the ultimate level of this kind of bringing together the guf and the neshama and the guf, she'ein neshama dover neisav olatzmusay. Now the neshama is not something in addition to the body. There is a body and there is a soul. It's not that way. Elusha neshama nasis muhusay da guf. The neshama becomes what the guf is all about, a living guf. O kenemar, as it says in the pasuk, shechaya tzadik einem chayim besorim, that the life of a tzadik, which could extend to every yid, I guess, in some way, are not a physical, material life, ki'im chayim ruchnim, but rather the true nature of a tzaddik is spiritual life, shehem amunah v'yirah ba'ava, which is the faith in Hashem, reverence of Hashem, and love of Hashem, and that's the true nature of the Jewish entity, which is a combination of the body and the soul. But even the body becomes, that's what it becomes. And that's why there is a comparison between the breaking of the luchas and the passing of a tzaddik. Because both are fundamentally changed from what they were originally. In the case of the luchas, by engraving, they are now a completely new entity of the written luchas. By the body, once the neshama is put in, it's completely changed. The body is no longer simply a body. And their spiritual side, the spirit of them, becomes who they really are. Based on this, yuvan gam goydla ilish of shivri haluchas. We can also understand what is so important about the broken luchas, the shaychus al mulchama, and why the connection between the broken luchas and the mulchama. O kanal sibez, as he mentioned before, shekashayi yaitzim l'mulchama, when the yidden went to mulchama, yaitzim imam ha'orin shubayam menuchim shivri haluchas, that they dafka took the broken luchas with them. Taichnu shulmuchamas b'nei Yisrael, who, what is the real nature of a Jew, a war that the Jews conduct? Avshu der deyab amidbar, even hayu der deyab, even though they were a generation of extreme intellect and so on in the laveres ha-yarden, they had to now cross over into the yarden, cross over the yarden, the lichbash nachlus goyim, and they had to conquer the land of Canaan, the place where the other nations lived in Canaan, La Seisa Eretz Yisrael, in order to transform it into a Jewish land. Eretz Hashena, Hashem Elokecha b'Amereitz Hashana Adach Hashana, the land upon which Hashem's eye is always from the beginning of the year till the end of the year. V'chol kama sh'loi nichmesh v'kol ha'aretz kula, and as long as the whole country hasn't been conquered, Arez Melchemes Mitzvah, it still continues to be a mitzvah to continue to conquer city after city until they conquer the whole land, to conquer everything and to make it into a Dir Lo Yisbarach. So that was the nature of these wars. And where did they get the encouragement to do that? And the energy to do that? They come from the Shivri Aluchas. Because Kamesha Aluchas, Shagamit Sadatzvam, Haisabem, Amaila, the Maisa Elikim, just like the Luchas, as we mentioned, they had that quality that they were created, fashioned by Hashem. They were elevated to a much fundamentally different type of amayla, amayla de michtav laki, the quality of having been written by Hashem, ba'ad kedei kach, and that became their nature, their true nature, so much so shekashem porchamem, that when this quality was floated up from them, lo yhaya b'hem mamish, they no longer had any true value. This encouraged the people that went to the war. That it's not enough for them that they reached these qualities in the midbar, that they studied Torah, they were completely spiritual people, they were tzaddikim. That is not enough. But that rather now they have the Melchemes Mitzvah, and it is their obligation, that they have to gather all of their strengths in order to conquer. Uvaloshna Rambam, as Rambam says, Kol Eretz Yisrael, Hamura B'Teira, the entire area of Eretz Yisrael, which is mentioned in the Teira, that they now have to move on to that. Shezeh Kol Zeh Shetziba Moshe Rabbeinu M'Pi Agvura Lokav Is Kol Baya Oilam, that this includes not only the nations there, but it really refers to all the people of the world, that we have to conquer them, meaning to say that we have to get them to accept the mitzvahs b'nei noyach, that they should accept it upon themselves, because Hashem commanded it in the Torah, not just that they don't kill because it's not nice to kill, but they don't kill because Hashem said not to kill. And that's the new mission, to make the whole world into a Dir Yisbarach, not just Eretz Yisrael, but it really is a bigger mission for the whole world. And all this comes from the Luchas, that even though the Luchas have this great quality, but without the new quality that you have, the new mission that you have, everything else is worthless. It remains without real purpose. And this is the lesson to every Jew in their Aveda. That it's not enough what a Yid did on his service of Hashem until now. Even if he already reached the level of a tzaddik, still mitzvah chayvihi lalus madrega nalus yesed. If you don't elevate yourself to the new level that you're expected, ein bo mamish. Vehine. This lesson also relates to the simple meaning of the passing of a tzaddik. Omer Hazal, the Chazal tell us, tzaddikim ein lo menucha loy b'olam hazeh v'loy l'olam haba. Tzaddikim have no rest, not in this world, not in the future world. Shenemer, as the pasuk says, yelchu mechayil l'choyil, they go from strength to strength, they keep growing constantly. They are constantly rising in their service of Hashem. And even though it's true that any day of the year they have no rest, meaning to say that they are growing from level to level, when it comes to the day of a yartzeit of a tzaddik, yesh oz aliyah yaseira, there is an even higher type of elevation. And the reason for this can be explained as follows. Mavur b'kama makayimus, it's explained in a number of places. The b'chdei lalas l'madrega el yena yaser, that in order for a person to be able to grow to a new level, shehi be'ein areich l'madregosa akademis, but this new level should be infinitely greater than his previous level. Hareza al yedei akdomis bitl m'madregosa akademis. The only way to reach a completely new level is to leave the old level. You have to forget everything from before in order to get to a new place. If you don't forget everything before, so then all you're doing is growing another step, based on the previous step. But if you want to go to a new place, you have to leave the old place. V'loshen admor hazaken, and as the Alter Rebbe writes, Shebet Yipol Tzadik will come, that when it says seven times shall a tzadik fall, it means that he has to fall away from the old madrega in order to get to a new madrega. Ubein madrega l'madrega, termish yegi l'madrega l'yena, mimeno. So now when a person finds himself between these two levels, he's left his old level, but hasn't reached a new level yet, so he's between levels. He finds himself as fallen from his original darga, and he hasn't reached a new darga yet. So now you're on a fall in a fallen place. So the same is true about the passing of a tzaddik. Misa bitul memitziosam akademis. Misa death means that they've left their previous state. He ha'akdama v'achana. What does it mean that a tzaddik dies? It means that he's left his present level and now he has to transition to Olam Haba, to Gan Eden, Aliyah Shel Be'erech, which is a completely new type of place where he has to go to. So the death is the transition in order to be able to go to the new place, but in the meantime there is a nefila. L'chein b'chol shana v'shana. Therefore, every year, b'yoma yartzeit, on the day of the yartzeit, kasher meseder the inyan k'mei shahoy b'pam rishonim, when things sort of reoccur as they happened the first time, the day that he passed away. Yesh aliyah nesefes yisera, there is a completely new type of aliyah, not in comparison to yesterday's level, but a complete departure from yesterday's level to get to a completely new level. Aliyah shalei be'erach aliyahs hakeidmeis, which are not within reach of the previous aliyahs, a completely new, different type of level, and that happens on the day of the yartzeit. U'mizeh sh'om chazal tzadikim ein la menucha gam ba'olam haba, and from the fact that we are told that the tzadikim don't have any rest even in olam haba in Gan Eden, l'cheir areze hilchas ol Gan Eden. That why were we told that? That's something. When you're in Gan Eden, you need to know that. Why do people in this world need to know that? Mochach, from this we understand, shegam zeh sheyesh aliyas l'tzadikim Gan Eden, that also this knowledge that tzadikim have this kind of growth in Gan Eden, negeya b'avayda ata, that it's also important to us in our current avayda in this world. B'hayinu, in other words, ki al yedei aliyas tzadik mechay lo chayil, that when a tzaddik grows from strength to strength, from level to level, it helps, and it gives koyach to all those people that are connected to him, all those people that study his Torah, etc. Heim, in their own avodah, this is meant to help and give koyach to us who are connected to this tzaddik, that we should to grow from strength to strength in our avodah. Ubefrat b'yom ha'yartzeit, especially on the day of a yartzeit, she'oz ha'alicha va'aliyah, then the growth and the movement forward, b'yesa seitz v'yesa oz, is in this new exponential level. So al pizeh muvan, so from this we can understand, she'mayli yaseira b'niflo b'negei l'stalkos ha'kshura b'golos, that there is an additional, that when we talk about a tzaddik passing away in golos, when he is in exile, like k'vayt k'dusamu adonia avi admur balei lula, like the Rebbe's father shenestalik begolos, that passed away when he was in exile by the Russian government. Babir, so to explain why passing away in golos brings this out even more. Mavur b'sefer achinuch. Sefer HaChinuch explains, Asher tzar golos shokol kim'at k'tzar misa, that the pain of golos is almost equal to the pain of death. Shenifra da'odem ha'oyava, because a person is separated from his beloved ones, u'me'eretz meladatayim, from the place where he was born, where he was used to being, v'sheichen kol yomav v'mzarim, and lives all his days with people, strangers. So you're disconnected. So that's similar to Misa, which is being removed from everything, you know, that you're used to, that you know. In fact, there is something more about the pain of Golos that is not even present in the pain of Misa, of death. Because when a person is in exile, it is a continuous, it's a thousand deaths. Every day is the death again. Whereas death is only a one-time thing. Therefore, when a person fulfills Torah mitzvahs in Golos, Limreis Atzara, Kosher Bezeh, notwithstanding the great pain and the stress that you go through in Golos, Hareiz Emaili Yisedim and Eflos, then it's an even a greater quality, Al Derech Mashom Razal, similar to what our sages say, Il Moli Nagdul Hanani Mashol Vazarya, that if Hanani Mashol Vazarya, who allowed themselves to be thrown into a furnace, a burning furnace, but the Chazal say that if they had been tortured, we don't know if they would have withstood the test. Even though they were red, they went into a burning furnace. So the golos is something which is continuous and constant pain. So from this we understand also in the since the person lives through this kind of pain and does the mitzvahs in golos, which is a much greater quality than doing it generally. So the aliyah that comes afterwards, the kivin shelufum tzayra agra, since according to the effort that you put in is the reward that you get. Harei aliyah shelachay tzayra biyirid kazu. So the aliyah, the elevation that occurs as after this kind of pain, he Dargas Aliyah and Gedoyla Ba'aliyah, the Misasan Shul Tzadikim, is an even higher level than passing of a tzaddik than for a normal, an ordinary tzaddik, which passes away in familiar surroundings. And therefore, the encouragement and the kayach that the people that are connected to the tzaddik receive from this passing. That the body goes, follows the head. The head is the tzaddik and the body is the Jewish people. So even though they find themselves in other places, not in this Golos, and especially through their learning of his Torah, it means that even though they're not together with him, but they study his Torah and therefore they're connected to him. And because Torah is a yichud nifl shein yichud kamayu, because the studying some Torah is in a connection which is the greatest connection possible, as Tanya says. And there is nothing in the physical world that can emulate, that can be similar to this kind of connection. It's the greatest unity possible. So when a yid learns the Torah of the tzaddik, he is connected to that tzaddik in the greatest way. And therefore, the kayach that you take from the tzaddik that passed away in Golos, whose aliyah is on such a great level, much greater than if he had passed away like any other tzaddik in his familiar surroundings, so the kayach that his followers take is even greater as well. And the similar is in the general avayda v'yida. Yidei avaydas aliyah mechayi l'chol b'zman ha-golos. That when a Jew grows from strength to strength during Golos. The neshama beguf, the general Golos of the neshama being in Golos in the guf, or the Golos zebeteich Golos, and even that Golos is a Golos within a Golos, shayidei chetei tzadas, which happened because of the tzadas. In other words, had the neshama been in a guf before the tzadas, it would be one level Golos. Now after the tzadas, shundonu begereshim, donu begereshim, now we were banished from the good place. And after that, then came an even greater level of Golos that were no longer in Eretz Yisrael. And even within that Golos, they were, when a person is banished from one place to another place where they live, it could be true on Shabbos too, but when it's in a regular weekday, So that's another level of galus. So all these levels of galus, hareza achana la'avayda va'adarga de lemayla me'aliyas, avayda se'ema shabbos o'manucha. So this is a preparation for the avayda which happens on the day which is beyond aliyas. Shabbos is a day of menucha when a person doesn't grow from level to level. There's no avayda, there's no growth on Shabbos. It's at rest. Shana Shvi'i, so the seventh year, Shabbos Hashem, which is a day of rest. There's no need to grow to a new level. Elif Hashvi'i, and then the ultimate of this, of course, is the seventh millennium. Yom Shukula Shabbos HaManucha L'chai Lamim, a day which will be complete rest for eternity. So all this, all the Aveda and all the levels of Golas and all the level upon level of Golas prepares us for all the life which will come after the need for Aliyas, when we will be at rest. The first level of this on Shabbos, and then there is a year of rest, and then there is the eternity of rest. That's what it leads us to.